Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's really weird to record on the day the last podcast came out.
Yeah.
We're so far ahead of schedule. I love it.
Yeah, which means that Bridget and I get one free hangout.
Hell yeah.
Most of the time we only
a non-business related hangout.
Which ends up like being 40% still about Splat.
Yeah, because that's what we do now is record a podcast for you guys about Sex and the City.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi, Brooke.
Hey, all of our adoring fans.
We love you guys and welcome to
Splat, the podcast.
Where me, Bridget.
And me, Brooke.
Talk about Sex and the City. 10 years younger
and 20 years later. But
there it is. It's not me this time. I had to actively stifle the impulse.
Oh, I saw it. But maybe it's just a part of the thing.
And that's where we are now.
Thomas.
Bonjour.
Oh, yes, a surprise.
We have another guest.
The best Welcome. Guest ever.
That's true.
Ugh, totally.
You're the best guest ever.
I mean, I just...
It was the best guest ever. That is a One Direction song I'm repurposing for this exact
That's
moment.
Crazy. I was going to do best guest ever.
Either way, you're getting some love here.
You got two songs about you.
I love it. Thank you so much for the singing. I did not catch either reference.
Thomas is an amazing singer.
Oh, totally.
What's your relationship to Sex and the City?
So, me and the Sats... I don't know. It, like, doesn't have, like, a snappy...
I call it
but
a
you have But you have to click at the end. So, it's Sat...
Sat...
There it is.
There we go. I got
that's
that pop.
Beautiful.
That's probably way too loud for the mic. Sorry.
No.
So, we started our love affair many, many moons ago when I was... a lot younger than I am now. But
please, you're young and fresh. Look
so,
at you.
So fresh.
You might
you
as
guys.
Well be a, I might as well be looking at a daisy.
I mean,
just bloomed.
No, you guys. You guys can hang out with me whenever you want.
Great, because I'm moving into that guest room.
Oh yeah, so, yeah exactly. Oh great. Yeah, we're at my apartment. I forgot.
Yeah, yes. We're hosts of this podcast, and he is hosting us.
That's just kind of like my lifestyle. I'm like, you can come to me.
That's how I feel, honestly.
Yeah, love it.
But this is if we had like a midtown space, because Bridget lives in Brooklyn.
We live like as far apart as it's basically possible to within the five boroughs.
Oh, fantastic! So that makes this super convenient.
Yes.
For you guys.
It does, actually. You're right in the middle.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm here for. Oh, see, I did make a musical theater reference. I was listening to Splat, and there are so many, like, Broadway call-outs.
What are you talking about?
And I was like...
It's all Brooke. No, it's literally all Brooke.
And, like, I low-key had a plan. I was like, okay, I'm not going to do it because...
It's second nature.
She can't help herself.
I can't help it. It's so intrinsically a part of who I am as a human being.
Is that something to be proud of?
Or? I think that as I'm growing up, yeah.
Honestly, just yes. You gotta own the things
like
you love.
If
exactly.
You, yeah, because it's just like, why hide it?
Why hide it?
Because the version of myself that stifles it is probably way less fun and interesting.
True. There I would believe go. That.
I would, yeah, lean into it then, I say. No, my relationship with it is good. I watched all of it. I remember, like...
Did you watch it on TV the first time, or was it after that?
God, no, we were poor. We didn't have cable.
Oh, yeah, great. Me neither.
But my friends either had HBO, or they were getting the box sets as they were coming out, because box sets were everything.
Box sets were everything.
Legit. Like, just like the cover art that they would put on the DVDs
brought me
so much joy.
What are you doing with your box sets? Because we're actually having a discussion about it in our apartment, because it's like, are we really ever gonna watch our to one of our two box sets of Friends or the West Wing box set, because it's all digital now.
Yeah.
Well, if you have a DVD player and you can watch the West Wing again, I mean, just have that on repeat, right, because that's right, outstanding television.
I'm afraid
also, like,
to watch it
right now.
Who knows
when the apocalypse comes and, like, we don't have the internet. So it might be nice to have Friends to keep you company in, like, your cavern.
Friends.
Yeah.
Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah, the only box sets I own are Will and Grace, and Bones, because
for some reason,
I fucking loved
Bones. Like, I loved it too.
I have the Dead Like Me.
Oh, amazing. I love Dead Like Me.
I don't even know what it is.
You would love Dead would Like I? Me. Yeah.
When was it out?
Callum Blue. I don't remember like the year.
Is it like recent? Or
No. Okay, it was like early 2000s, like 2006, I want to say.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Mandy Patinkin.
Oh, shit. Jasmine Guy.
Great show.
Okay, I'm putting it on the list.
Legit. It's worth watching, but don't ever waste your time on watching the movie that they made to like wrap it up, because it just hurts your soul.
I don't think I did.
Oh, good. Don't do it.
Oh, movies to wrap up TV series are always, that's hard to do well.
Unless you're Sex in the City.
We're back.
Were you in Connecticut with us when we watched the Sex in the City 2 movie?
No.
Okay.
I was not. But I wish I was, because I fully enjoy them.
And I didn't even pick it. I was just like, I let the ladies choose.
You're like, that's amazing. I mean, how could they not pick it if it's an option?
Honestly, it's so good.
So how old were you when you watched the first time, do you think?
I mean, I would have been like a freshman in high school, probably. And I just marathoned it, because I had to like catch up, because we were already in like season 4 at that point. And so I would just hold up in my friend's apartment, because I had older friends.
Oh my God, you're so cool.
I'm like, I keep telling people, I'm just waiting for them to catch on.
Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Minnesota. So just surrounded by nice people being nice all the time, you know, and then I just had this vision of what New York was going to be, because I saw it on Sex and the City, and I was like, oh, well, I'm just going to have amazing clothes and go to nightclubs all the time.
Yeah, that's what it is, isn't it?
It's actually more eating cereal for dinner and hanging out in my pajamas.
Yes.
How long have you lived in New York City?
Seven, eight years.
Cool.
Was that like right post-college kind of thing?
Or
did you go to school here?
No, I stayed in the Midwest for school, and then I went and did the cruise ship thing.
Oh,
because
sure,
that's
sure.
what us musical theater students
what
do.
What cruise did you do?
I was on Holland America Lines, the Westerdam.
Oh, yeah.
We called it the Besterdam.
We know someone on a like Zuiderdam or something.
The Zuiderdam, yeah. Totally sister ship, I think.
So you've been here for 8 years.
Yeah.
Have you like moved a couple of times, or have you lived in like one general area while you've been here?
Good question.
I'm just always curious about like where people have been.
I love it. I moved here and I like met some random on Facebook before I got here who had a place.
Wow, bold.
I don't know what I was thinking. And but he ended up being amazing. His name was Michael Morch, which then turned into January February Morch, which then just turned into JFeb.
I love that.
So that was
That's a really good nickname.
Solid nickname. Yeah, it requires a little bit of explanation, but I'm so into it.
Amazing.
We lived in a house off Ditmars.
Oh, okay.
In Astoria. But it was like, you have to take the train to Ditmars, which already is an endeavor in and of itself. And then you had to walk 15 minutes to get to this place.
Oh, no, 15.
15 minute walk.
Oh, my God.
And
oh,
those
God.
Days when like it was like sudden rain, I was like, okay, well, I guess I don't have to shower later.
I guess I'm wet.
So that was a big fail. And then I subletted a place on 51st and 9th above what's now El Patron.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
That's very close to where I
was going to say, isn't that right by you?
51st and 10th.
Oh, my gosh. Maybes. But it was so insanely loud, and it didn't have AC, and I was totally. But it had exposed brick, and I was like, see, it all evens out.
That's worth, you're like, utilities, don't give a fuck. Dishwasher, I can live without. Exposed brick? Yes, baby.
You're like, I will pay an extra $400.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck.
Just to take a selfie in front of that wall.
Exactly.
You have a this purple wall is like very nice.
Did you guys paint this?
So no, this has been like this since I moved in. Well, because Danny lived here before I moved in.
Oh, sure.
And yeah, this color is called baritone.
Aren't you two tenors?
I pretend to be one.
That's so funny.
But no, I am not.
Danny's a tenor.
Baritone is a hilarious name for.
Isn't that ridiculous?
I kind of love it.
The one that we have at work.
Oh, I hear them in Western, isn't it? is like a...
Isn't it?
Yes, oh my I get God. That. Oh my God.
Literally no one amazing. Ever calls me out on it. The only time it comes out
that
is
that wasn't meant out of judgment, beware.
No.
That was an entirely love call out.
I'm glad I have a little homage to my family, because otherwise it only comes out when I hang out with my mom, because or like my mom.
Because, you know, it's so funny. That's one of my favorite things about people who like sort of have accents is like when their family is around, it like comes out. So like we have a friend, this isn't so true anymore because he's living in New Zealand, but our friend who lives in New Zealand
Cash
obviously has an accent, but like not so much if you like met him when we met him in school. But I was hanging out with him one time and his mom called and he answered and all of a sudden it was
full
like
kiwi.
Like a kiwi had sprouted out of him.
It's like, hello mother, how are you doing?
Okay, anyway, so while you've lived here,
yes,
have you had, I'm sure you've had many, but like what, if you can think of one, what's a moment where you've been like, oh my God, that was extremely Sex in the City of me.
Oh, shit.
Or just like something happened or...
You know, like when you're about to do a podcast where you're talking about Sex in the City and like maybe you should think about some of these things.
We should have sent you a list of questions beforehand, honestly.
I mean, that's... It was in my rider. I didn't get it.
My brothers, we did why get you think
the
about
6
your...
pounds of gummy bears you asked for. So.
Wait.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's crazy. While you think, my brother's literally having gummy bears.
Was that the story you were just gonna tell? Wait, that's crazy. I was just gonna you were gonna say that Alex wants a rider of gummy bears.
Yes,
and that's the example I just came up with.
Yes, that's what just happened.
Just making sure I understood the life we just both lived. Anyway, how's it going over there?
We're just having so deep in thought, just like cross-eyed, trying to think of something. I guess the most Sex in the City, because I mean, I was in a relationship pretty much the entire time I was here, so I didn't have any of like.
Here we go.
I'm so sorry. I just had a
visceral reaction to that.
Oh God!
But not even that's like sex so stuff necessarily.
But so I guess so the only thing you. I could think. Oh my God! So much shade right now. Just like false niceties.
She does mean it. I promise.
No, she doesn't. But that's all right. Like it's all right. Don't be jealous of my boogie. No, I have one night that I can think of specifically that seems like could have been like a slight plot twist in Sex and the City. It was so I was leaving. I had been here. I was in the place in Queens, and I was leaving to do a production of Hairspray. So I was like, I need to have a going away party. And
because you can't stop the beat.
I can't stop the beat. And I was ready to pump it here in the city. But Danny was out of town. And so, and I only had been here a couple of months. So I had like very few friends. So I like called together the most random group of friends who do not know each other and like didn't, I don't think cared for each other. But we went.
That's always fun to be facilitating a group of people who don't really like each other.
But it was just all the different personalities. Right. And you know, like the way all the characters on the show are very like, it's like a weird classist show where everybody falls into a specific stereotype. It was definitely that sort of vibe,
funny.
Except it was all gay. Amen. But we went to Splash. I mean, I'm going to write it. And
great. Okay.
It's going to be outstanding. We went to Splash.
We'll do the
which
podcast
closed.
About it after you write it.
Oh, you guys see, this is why I'm here, providing longevity for your podcast
thank
careers.
You.
Thank you, Thomas.
Yay. Assets. And I just remember, it was like, I don't know. It was just like, there was like, it was a really weird vibe there that night, and everybody was like living their fantasy and drinking. And at one point I went down to the bathroom before we were going to leave and like hop in a cab and go to another club, which feels very like New York, Sex in the City, like when living my best life. And I got into the stall and I don't know why. I just pictured like Miranda having to like experience this and be mortified by it. But I was going to the bathroom and then I turned and I realized that in these last two stalls, all of them had normal dividers, but the one between these two was glass. And so I look over and there is just like the seediest, maybe a little bit attractive, but just seedy vibe.
Oh no, like he knew it was a glass door and was waiting for young, handsome men to come in. And
he was not going to the bathroom. I will say that.
Oh my God, that's horrifying.
But can't you just imagine, like, I just picture like Miranda with her like peeping Tom who like wasn't actually like waiting for her or... sandwich guy in this episode that we're
going
to talk about.
Guy,
like, it's just that weird, like...
Just glancing over and being like, wow, I was not in the situation I thought I was.
Unexpected sexual energy in the city.
Like wow. That works. I love it.
I love it.
That's also horrifying, and I'm sorry.
Twice. And so I jumped in the cab and we went somewhere else.
Good.
A little
good
bit
call.
More my vibe, which is sit and talk.
Thomas.
Yeah.
Which woman do you identify with?
Oh my gosh.
Or any other character, if so.
I know. I was trying to think if there's another character on the show that I could be like, yes, that's me. But
we could pigeonhole you really easily, but I mean, don't think we want to do that.
No, you can't.
Between Stanford and Anthony, which gay friend are you?
Oh my god. Well, literally, I'm not a cartoon character, so unfortunately I don't qualify.
Sometimes I feel like a cartoon character.
I mean, they're fun and they're adorable, but I was actually sure. This is,
oh my god, are you writing my biography right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, fun and adorable. The Brooke story. But is this episode that we're going to watch, is this the introduction of Anthony?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I thought
so. Oh, does he stick around? See, I wasn't sure.
Oh, yeah.
He's Charlotte's Stanford.
He's Charlotte Stanford.
Oh,
but
amazing.
But this is when they meet, right?
Yeah, yes. Because she's never met him before this episode,
we'll
right?
get there. Don't worry, okay. team.
But yeah. No, I don't think I'm either one of them. I think I started out as a Carrie like we all do.
Yes, we exit the womb as a Carrie.
Yes, had my terrible love affair. When I was much too young to be having a terrible love affair. Mm-hmm. And then I had like my Miranda E phase. The person, no. I feel like I can't spill his tea too much because like, fair. I don't know like the life he's living. Mm. But he was much older.
Much oh, older sure. Well, you did say you had older friends.
I did.
Yes, you are. You're an old.
You are such a good listener. So that happened. I had my Samantha phase, and that was lovely. And now I'm just some weird amalgam of them all. With a soft spot in my heart for Charlotte.
So I love that. We need that perspective, just like they need Charlotte's perspective.
Because we feel like we're Mirandas at our core.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm a Miranda. I'm probably a Carrie at my core. I'm a Carrie at my core that like really is drawn to a Miranda lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And then I long to be a Samantha.
So explain to me, what do you think makes up a Miranda?
Well, that's to me, I was just going to say, that's why I was so curious. Yeah. Because to me, like a Samantha phase, to me, I would like know what that
it's
meant.
It's like slutty.
Yeah,
like
a Charlotte phase, I would sort of know what that meant. A Carrie phase.
A despy to get married phase. Mm-hmm. And then right. you're like in love with someone you're not supposed to
be.
To
me, Miranda
in love
with is it. Like a little cynical, a little sarcastic, very career driven.
Maybe I am Miranda. Because
I think we're all Miranda.
I can be pithy sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I can be quick.
She's like a little cutting.
Yeah.
She kind of like gets to the heart of a situation. Well, it's interesting. We'll talk about this more in this episode. But last episode, Carrie chooses to tell Samantha and not Miranda about her affair with Big. Or at least that she slept with him.
Yes, 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 yes.
And I think that's speaks to how Carrie feels about Miranda and how she...
Miranda
which, like, we can expand
such a,
on this.
Has such a strong moral high ground.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think that comes from.
Yeah, I think she's afraid of Miranda thinking a different way of her or, like...
And Charlotte, she just, like, knows is, like, not even worth it. Oh, no, yeah. not in the sense that she's not...
But she knows when she's looking for sympathy about a terrible decision she's made.
She's not looking for sympathy. She's looking for permission.
Right. You're right.
And
you're
the only one of her friends who's going to give her permission to keep doing what she's doing
is Samantha. That's what my thing about Carrie is that she will go to the person
for the thing
who
she
gives
wants
her the
them.
Answer that yeah. she wants.
Yes.
Because she's an amoebic human.
Absolutely.
All right. Shall
okay,
we,
cool.
Shall we
dive
in?
This one is called Running with Scissors.
P.S. Also the name of my favorite book.
Oh, I love that book.
Augustine Burroughs.
Yes. I read that when I was like way too young to have read it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Me too. I remember sitting in the high school cafeteria. Yep.
I was way too young.
Oh, yeah.
And so it stuck with me in that way when you read something where you're too young, where you're like, I know I don't fully understand this, but I know it's big and I know it's important.
Mm-hmm. That's so weird. I was talking about how I read The Phantom of the Opera in eighth grade.
Also big
I mean,
and
my
important.
My eighth grade, excuse me. I mean, I was eight and I was in third grade.
Okay. Yep. Those are different things.
Gaston Laurel. That's
right.
Are the captions working?
So here we go.
No, because she's doing voiceover right now.
You're right. So
no, oh, wait. No.
Not okay. 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 So we are full into an affair with
an
Big.
An affair.
Okay, and like, how dare you like start off by just making a joke out of your affair?
I was just gonna
Hi.
Say, yeah, she shows up in this like secret agent sort of trench coat, like police sunglasses, and
her
a trench
hair
coat.
Looks unbelievable.
It's really beautiful, those braids and like twisty braid buns.
And her, she's not wearing; it's like a mesh bodysuit.
Mm.
Here's the thing,
because we know that Sarah Jessica Parker negotiated like the most modesty. Mm-hmm. So like right. this is also, but the outfit when it pans out is like a weird men's bodysuit and then like very unflattering jeans.
Yeah, they're not that flattering on her. Here's my thing about this. No part of it seems fun. The sex, yes. Every other part of it, even in these.
Well, that's the point of this montage. Right. So the first time it's like, ooh, this is so sexy.
So it's a montage exactly like Brooke said, where it's like them meeting in sketchy hotel rooms that get sketchier because they're like afraid of people they know seeing them on the Upper East Side. Mm-hmm. So Carrie's like 59th and 9th. 56th no one will ever, and 8th. There it is.
What hotel is that?
Yeah, I know.
Like the Hyatt? To know.
Like what is it?
And why didn't she have her diaphragm in when she came in for this affair?
I don't understand what diaphragms are. Are they like female condoms?
Yeah, it's like a kinda, thing. That like, yeah. It just blocks it. A P.S. Can we talk about the snack that Big is having? A Rolling Rock and cheese crackers?
Yes, absolutely.
I was thinking
call
about
me by your name. Smoking. I'm yeah, so right. into there. That.
I know.
I was thinking about those crackers because, as I was saying, I've recently become infatuated with the peanut butter pretzels at Trader Joe's. Mm.
I'm and obsessed. I have a they're my favorite snack of all time.
And I have like a weird fascination with how the snacks, finding snacks as adults that are just like grown-up versions of snacks we had as children.
Mm-hmm. Like they're combos, mm-hmm. like these Trader Joe's pretzels. It's yeah. like the combos bags you used right. to get.
Is that what they are? Because I think of those like that look like these cheese crackers, the like, but the pretzel ones.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
With they were either cheese like orange crackers with cheese,
with the cheese or the
pretzel
peanut
crackers
ones.
With
yeah.
peanut butter.
Yeah, we're all just big kids at heart.
That's it's like right. at what point are you not allowed to order chicken tenders anymore?
I still order them like on the reg from the diner across the way.
Oh,
I mean,
diners are good for that, though. I mean,
right.
Yeah.
I just need them. Absolutely. Because I've been drinking, and I need something delicious and fried and protein, because right. like, in my drunken brain, it sounds like protein.
Like, it's not as bad as, yeah.
So they're...
This affair.
So the, like, funness and, like, sexiness of their trysts become...
Disappear almost immediately. And mm-hmm. here's the thing. She says it a little bit later, and I'm just going to bring it up now so it's clear. This has now been going on for three weeks. And here's the thing. If that includes the first and second time they hooked up, mm-hmm. that is a lot in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Because this montage includes multiple scenarios.
We're about to get into some really bad kissing.
Yes, and the noises
oh
of it.
Oh my god, the worst kissing.
This episode should just be called Bad Kissing with Carrie.
I know.
So, yes.
It's not even fun to watch.
What I will
you're
say is
like...
that it's interesting when you're dating someone versus when you're just having sex with them and the freedom that you feel to sort of stand up for yourself. Like, I find that Carrie is like firmer with Big now because she's not worried about ruining their relationship.
Totally. That's a real thing when you're in a relationship with someone and you're kind of...
You're like taking both care like, of them as you're taking care of yourself.
I should be honest, but also like I'm tiptoeing a little bit because I don't want to cause strife.
And I don't want to lose you
and I'm
scared.
Exactly. I don't want to be complicated. I don't want to be too difficult for you.
Mm-hmm. And you can see in Carrie in this because she sort of like lashes out at Aiden stupidly that like the ramifications of like speaking your mind to someone who you're dating versus speaking to someone that you're fucking.
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's sort of like I don't know if it's like a defense mechanism or what, but it's very fascinating to me. Yes, bad kissing.
Look at these sloppy
tight
mouth kisses.
They're not kissing. They're literally mashing their faces.
Mouth mashing.
It's too hot. I can't do it.
She's like, these hotel rooms are trashy. And he is the fucking worst. Through every single one of these, his instinct is to say something demeaning, belittling, dismissive of her, dismissive of Aiden. Mm-hmm. And then his instinct is, oh, I made you mad. I'm so sorry. And it's like, you can't. Well, here's the thing. He's like 45 and has gotten by his whole life on being an asshole and then apologizing later. So like, why would there be any consequences now?
Right.
But he's literally getting every single thing that he wants and still being an asshole.
That's the whole like push and pull game.
The way
that
he's kissing
playing
her, he's
with
kissing her.
Her
eye. And it's supposed to be romantic, but I'm like, don't kiss her on the... It's like, it looks like you just missed. Ugh.
I know. So I wrote down like... Even this, like, no part, even from the very beginning, the opening moment when she appears, I was like, no part of this is sweet to me. I just can't stand him. I think I'm biased at this point, but I can't.
You know what I really appreciate in this episode is that none of them are wearing a lot of makeup.
That's true.
Like,
it's
I think they're
subtle.
Like, they're probably wearing like makeup, but like Sarah Jessica Parker and both
look fresh.
Tony, Emmy, and Grammy Award winner Cynthia Nixon are like very natural, and totally. It's really amazing.
So at the bar,
yes,
Carrie is now admitting to Miranda about the affair.
And Miranda's like, I need a cigarette to digest this.
I fucking love her for
it.
That.
I fucking love her.
Especially as she's a non-smoker. So it's like, this is something she doesn't like freak out.
Nope.
She's like, no, I don't hate you. Because Carrie's immediately like, do you hate me?
No.
She's like, no, I don't.
And
but
I love
do
that
want
Carrie's
a cigarette.
Like, ugh, if only I didn't hate me.
Right.
Yeah.
Which this like false heroic. Cism. I don't know what the right word is. I've been drinking, but like heroism is
heroism,
that it? This
yeah.
like fault like of like what am I doing? I'm a terrible person. This like it's like but you're still choosing to do it.
It's
this,
like you were saying. Like she's looking for permission, and from Miranda, she's not looking for permission so much as absolution of like
yes.
I get it and I don't judge you.
But now step away from it. She wants someone to tell her
but
to
she,
do
and
that.
To Miranda's
but she doesn't
credit,
want to.
She does an amazing job of this conversation. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because Carrie just needs a sounding board. And I think Miranda knows that because they're the best friends.
Yes.
And so, like, Carrie's like, I hate myself. I know that what I'm doing is bad, and I don't want to hurt anybody. And Miranda's kind of like, you're not going to not hurt anybody. Like, that's, like, super – she's like, forget about what big. Like, what do you want? She's like, I don't want anyone to get hurt. And Miranda's like, okay, that's not realistic. And she mentions a Lifetime movie, and I just really quickly want to say – I love Lifetime. And I like, especially this Christmas, like got really invested in the Hallmark Lifetime movie. And I think that it's affected the way that I'm like going about my life. like the fact that like every really, I made my dad watch like 4 Hallmark movies with me when I was home. And I was talking to him on the phone about this boy, and he was like, well, you know, like, and all those movies, they usually don't like each other at first, and then they sort of find their way to each other. And I was like, Dad, don't think I haven't thought about that already. Because
have either of you seen A Christmas Prince?
Of course.
I know. Okay. I have standards. Like, come on now.
Here's the thing. It was so fun to watch.
It was so fun
it
to
was,
watch.
It was like we got mean. Trashed and watched it, and yeah, it was like the funniest. Because it's literally like the genius of it is that like I don't think – I mean, clearly someone wrote it. I don't think I could write something like that if I tried.
Okay.
Because it is so exactly, if you took every rom-com that's ever been made of this variety and smashed them into one generic script, this would be it. Like, it's hard to overemphasize how, like, hilariously generic and bad
just
the
so
plot
super
points are.
Happy for it.
You know what, I might actually love it
you
because
should.
I am the
would.
Most basic person.
That's what you just have to you if you go in being like this is gonna be
terrible.
I can tell you the plot. I could write this film
it's
in my
hilarious.
sleep, and you're just like yeah.
And there it is. Does your expectations
there
because
it is
worse better Ugh. Than you better I watched, worse expected
I love
you know
it. And I only indulge these types of movies during the holidays. It's like I don't go near them.
No,
like those like murdery
but it came out
ones,
just in time
meet, no
none of it
but it's like
Christmas
me,
joy
give me like a you're gonna meet on
give
December
me a totally
12th
implausible.
And you're gonna hate each other and by December 24th you're engaged yes
kiss none of the mistletoe
that's right
there's something about the holidays. All right, anyway
Miranda's an amazing friend. She handles
she drinks
this well
she drinks vodka gimlets and
she
to
does.
That I say cheers.
Cheers.
Salud.
And she's like, she. Here's the thing, because she walks this amazing line of being like, I love you. I don't hate you. I support you.
But stop.
You have to stop.
Yeah.
And which is what Carrie needs someone to tell her
also,
right now.
Also, I think that Cynthia Nixon is trying to grow her hair out. And so to that, I understand.
It's like, I get it too. The like exact screenshot you have here. She's so beautiful, but it's like such awkward hair.
Finally, she takes another drag of her cigarette. That's
know,
the one thing that kills me
forever.
About this scene. It's like, don't ask for one and then waste
Not,
it.
Yeah, exactly. Especially if you can smoke inside. Like, come on, girl. Just
so,
go for it.
Across town, Samantha goes to a bar.
I mean,
that
truly.
Strut to
Which
that
is,
stool.
It's also funny
so
because
hideous.
How many times does Carrie say across town when she means 4 blocks away?
I mean,
they don't do anything except
I
on the Upper East
Side.
I wish that
my boobs looked like Samantha's boobs.
In a dress, same.
I mean, I'm sure there's something happening, and my boobs are just bigger than hers, so they don't like fall in that way. But damn.
Mine are smaller than hers, and they don't either. Like, I can't fill anything out.
So she meets Tom Raimi, who honestly is sexy as hell.
He's
oh,
really
yeah.
cute.
He can get it.
He could definitely get it. And here's the whole setup of this episode is he is a male Samantha.
Yes.
So he is this, like, beautiful, blondie, charming. And he when they meet each other, they're both like, I know who you are. I know who you are. And then within a few minutes, they're both like, so my place is...
Well, he's like, I know who you are. You like this? You want this? Do you want to fuck? And she's like, why? You could win an Olympic medal in that.
And then there's a sex swing.
Oh my, so Cirque du Soleil.
Which the captions. butchered Cirque du Soleil.
So funny. Oh my God. I've always wanted to run off and join the circus. And these pre-sex lines kill me.
Incredible. Like, also,
but wait, I just want to give credit to the writers for the, bear with me. For the alliteration that they use when they describe Tom, it was like, it was like three S's. He was I can't
like
even.
Single, sexy.
Yeah, exactly.
I was just like, yes. All these S's.
Oh yeah, it was terminally single or something like
exactly.
that.
So honestly though, like good for Tom Raimi because he and Samantha are about to do it and he's like, I do have a question why it's exclusively.
Okay, here's my thing. I'll tell you why. Finish your question.
Okay. So he's like, have you been tested? And she's like, no, which like is baffling to me that Samantha has as much sex as she does and hasn't been tested.
But I think you're right that the whole thing is about specifically
so he's
only
like, have
an
you
AIDS
been
test.
The AIDS test. And I was like, why are you asking about the AIDS test?
Here's why. I think this is an extremely product of the time episode.
Yeah.
That's
all. In the early 2000s?
I mean, the AIDS crisis was kind of like early 90s, right? So 80s, it wasn't
80s. I thought it was the 80s.
It was
yeah.
the 80s.
I thought it lasted
I've
until
seen the
early
normal
90s.
Heart.
Yes, you have. I thought it lasted until early 90s.
There's the stigma around it and all of that, you know, carried on. I mean, and
it
still
carries
on to
this
day.
It's like barely a...
And that's actually something that happens later in the episode. But in this particular moment, like... I love that he's trying to make safety sexy, like super into that.
Uh-huh. He does it so well and casually too, where he's like, listen, with as much sex as both of us have.
Like he's addressing that they're both super sexual and he's like, I got tested 3 weeks ago.
Also, what is sexier than someone, maybe this is silly, being like responsible in this way where it's like you're not only like just trying to be out on the town having the time of your life, but you're actually thinking ahead.
Well, it also like makes it, because you know what I think that Sex and the City is doing a good job of in like, you know, especially in this time that we're in right now. And I think that this is something that probably doesn't happen as much, but like a man. So they're presenting this man who has as much sex as Samantha, who he was so. And in the, you know, world where the connotation is that, like, it's either okay or not okay for men to have more sex than women. I think now, right now, that's, like, sort of switching or equalizing. To have a man who has a lot of sexual partners make his priority, like, safety and condoms and testing.
Totally.
Is, like, and I think it's one of the best portrayals of a one-off character that we've had.
I was just going to say, like, for all the one-night stands, this guy is the... most compelling, handsomest, smartest, and basically just because of this conversation. And it was a little off-putting to me too that it's so specific, but I think the writers just decided to make a choice.
Exactly. Well, and here's the thing, like I think their choice was to like tiptoe around the subject or just be like, are we going to talk about this particular issue, because it's not just for gay men, it's also for men and women, and like
and it should be, and like that was part of the difficulty of like the education and the
absolutely
right.
So they're like, they decided we're gonna call this out, like we're gonna do something to provide some normalcy and some acceptance of this particular topic, put it into public conversation, and to that I say brava.
Yes, thank you. Mm-hmm. And also this is a small thing, but part of the reason that it stood out to me so much, same as you, was because when he first asks it, he's like, have you had an AIDS test? And then the conversation proceeds.
HIV test,
sorry,
I think is what he says.
I think he might call it an AIDS test.
I think
test.
He says AIDS test.
Because he's crazy.
Oh, really? Because I know that they call it both, like, throughout.
I think in the hospital they get a little better and more technical. Because it was so jarring.
Says, he says AIDS test.
Okay.
But my thought was, the way the conversation progresses, and then he asks her sort of again and she answers. It seems like Samantha has never been tested for STDs.
Yeah.
Which just cannot be possible.
No, absolutely.
But I think because I feel like an STD in general is embarrassing more than it's life-threatening.
Right. And that's also
and maybe I'm wrong.
You can go to your general practitioner for that
but like
kind
in,
of thing.
But an
during
HIV,
your yearly physical, like you get your blood work done.
There's no way, because I literally was like jaw dropped.
Yeah.
Like Samantha has never ever gotten tested. And I think that's partially like what they were trying to do is make it like about that, but kind of make it a lot more specific.
Yeah.
And I mean, and maybe that's it. They were trying to teach a lesson to the viewer who hasn't done that
dealt
yet
with that or done that
taught
or
taught them
yeah.
that they need to go and do this. And it's going to be scary, but you have to do it because you want to live your life.
Right.
All right.
Continuing
so now
on.
Now we're at brunch. And I honestly was like, based on their response. Okay, first of all, all
so
of
many
their
colored
eyes,
shirts.
So all of their eyes look stunning.
It's because they're wearing colors that pop them out.
And SJP's skin has never looked better.
No,
her
never.
Skin looks amazing. This shirt I would wear.
I think an affair is maybe great for your skin.
And her hair looks amazing. But I was like, so there were all of the response to Charlotte like thrusting Bridal magazines at them. I'm like, I'm like, why are they friends with Charlotte?
Do you know what this just made me think of?
Tell me, Bridget.
We've talked about this 10 billion times, but in terms of ploppability, sitting down at brunch with a bunch of 400 page bridal magazines to look at bridesmaids' dresses, which she's literally like flagged.
Wedding dresses.
Oh, I thought she was, it was
no, for
now.
This is for her wedding dress.
This is her wedding,
her wedding dress. Right, because then she's about to. Flagging wedding dresses where you're just like, today I would sit down in front of a computer.
It's Pinterest.
Yeah.
First thing, no questions asked. And like they're having
see,
this
now they're calling
and...
it an HIV test.
Okay.
So they're like, what's her name? Charlotte.
Yep.
It's like, look at all these dresses.
How do you feel about opera length gloves? That's my favorite. They're all talking about HIV tests. And that's her
opera
throw into the comments.
That's
of course it is,
though. Her because she won't talk. She's like, because Carrie's like, I've been tested. Miranda's like, I've been tested. Samantha. It's
like, yeah, they
I
like
haven't.
Compare
and Charlotte,
time
Charlotte
amounts.
Doesn't even indulge.
Nope. It's part of the reason we rip into her, but then Brooke does defend her later, but is because... Samantha, where she has the guy with the terrible tasting cum, and then
get up and walk
brunch,
out of that brunch.
Just leaves.
That is one of the most iconic
she
moments
leaves.
In this show ever. I wish, because I have sat through some horrendous brunches.
Oh, it's amazing.
That's okay. I mean, like that's your most like
it's
Sex in the City moment
so
in
funny.
New York is like brunch with your
right.
girlfriends.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I have wanted to walk out so many times, and I wish I would have just done it. And
I love that. See, you're providing the commentary we need.
See, I literally when we got for this section of the show. Like in my notes, I literally wrote in all capitals, don't hate Charlotte, you guys.
I do.
Here's the thing.
I do hate her.
Later in this episode, though, I have never felt so passionately about what Charlotte's saying. Oh. Because I think while I appreciate... Okay, we'll get there.
We'll get there.
Well, so Charlotte has like thrusted.
She's... All these magazines are on the table. She's like sticky noted ones. She wants them all. She's like, you take these. You take these. Tell me what you think. Tell me what you think. And then Samantha is going in for... That's okay. Samantha is... And here's the other thing. Charlotte's just like, in general, wedding panic mode. And about her dress and about her everything. Of course, weddings are like the most stressful thing. Oh. And Samantha's basically like, honey, you can hire anyone to do anything for you in this city.
Cue.
And you should.
Mario Cantone.
Exactly.
Okay, so this is the first time that we've gotten a Carrie at her computer shot this episode.
Yes.
I
which generally means it's the like, I wondered.
Yeah. How do we feel about her article? Because I have a feeling if I read her article, I would hate it with
her
a
article,
fiery
you mean
passion.
Her column?
Yeah,
or
her,
this,
yeah, her column.
Like this particular one.
No, like
or do you mean in general?
In general. I
oh, yeah.
feel like her column is not great.
Here's the thing about Carrie's column.
I do... Please.
All I was going to say is, granted, I can't imagine it reading as not me in this time being me the person.
Uh-huh.
I think even then I would have been like, who is this woman who lives on the Upper East Side in a whatever, socialite, whatever, basically. How does she afford? Like, I think it would have, granted, when I like imagine like other lives for myself, I can't imagine anything other than being lower middle class because that's the only thing I've ever known. But I can imagine being... Just like, who is this woman? Basically, and like not giving her the time of day. Mm-hmm. That's all. You know what I mean?
I just because so like my so like you have
because
like,
her life doesn't seem real.
Right.
Anyway, that's all. Sorry.
But so like the show is new for you. Yes. So you only have it yes. from this perspective. You have been like a longtime fan. So like you remember every episode. And, like
I don't remember every episode, but yes.
But yes, you have like that yes. the a deeper connection.
Uh-huh.
Me, I've watched every episode probably like once, maybe twice. And this was all a long time
ago.
Yeah,
that's how I am.
But I remember back then thinking like the questions she asked, I was like, that's brilliant.
Yes.
This is who, 100%. My heart. But watching this episode,
I'm kind
like,
of like, okay. Well, so here are my takeaways being like okay. So when our physical life is at risk, is the only time we take care of it. That for me, I'm like, actually, yes. I mean, like, to an extent. Like, do I work out all the time? Like, yes. But that's like the nature of the things.
I think I'm actually a great example of this where I'm like, and not just physical, I would say that one of my like weaknesses as a human being is that I am one of those, unless something is broken, I will do absolutely nothing about it, people. If I don't have a deadline, I won't do something. If I don't, if I'm not feeling sick, I won't take care of myself. You know,
because I'm like cuspy.
And so
of
I
that.
Get that.
Uh-huh. Where I'm so like, it's like, so, but the thing that she's saying, and then my takeaway from her, I wonder, is like, you know, the thing about our physical bodies is that we can see when they're having a negative response, but emotionally it's so much easier to sort of like negotiate your way around a negative response. Mm-hmm. Or like you can, like I personally can like talk my way out of so many things, you know. It's like if I'm feeling sick or my fucking Achilles tendon has been like making this really weird noise when I stretch it, and I'm like, it's fine, it doesn't hurt, it just hurts when I walk, you know, a lot, which is a lot, so I should go to a doctor, but I'm like, it's fine, but like that's a physical thing. But like emotionally I'm like, oh, I'm like feeling anxious, but like that'll pass. Like it's like it's a lot easier to kind of brush off an emotional trigger or whatever. So I think that's what she's saying. So it's like, I think that you can, I think the vagueness of her I wonders or her computer moments are what make it so resonatable.
Relatable. You know, it's like a horoscope. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Where it's like the most vague advice.
Right.
So you
and
can infuse
you
yourself
yeah, exactly.
into
that's
it.
That's kind of what Carrie is
and
a little
so
bit.
It,
is like a human horoscope.
And it ends totally. With her asking, like, if you crawl into bed with someone, is sex ever safe? Because and just like I think that's a testament to the writers, because the word crawl is like you think of a bug or you think of something yucky,
low down, or like, and that's how Carrie's thinking of herself.
Yeah.
Well, she should, because right. she's being a bug of a human being.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. And so to lighten the mood
here
a little bit,
we get
Miranda and
she
the
was
sandwich.
A lawyer. He was a sandwich.
Oh my God, hilarious.
Can I make it any more obvious?
Can I just tell you that this is probably my number one sexual fantasy? Because
shut
like
up.
A random person in a costume on the street?
Specifically a sandwich.
Tell me more, because I cannot believe how specific this is and that you feel that way.
Because, well, I cannot tell you the love yeah. affair that I have with sandwiches. If you've ever watched me eat a sandwich, it's gross. Like, it is gross. Because
okay, but I feel you hard only because... I think sandwiches get a bad rap for being like a plain ordinary food, but like a good
sandwich.
You're not
sandwich, doing it right.
You're not no, a doing good it right. sandwich is like the best thing you could possibly eat sometimes.
Oof. Mine and Brooke's mutual friend makes bread. The Lying
she
Bread Breaker
does?
On Instagram. Check it out.
Her mom.
Oh, her mom
I've
does. I
about,
know that.
I've
yeah,
talked
yeah, yeah,
about
yeah.
at the Lying Bread Breaker at, yeah. on this podcast
yes.
before.
So amazing bread. I literally made a sandwich the other day. It was like cold
what's
cuts
your...
and cheese, and I like smothered it in coleslaw. And I was watching The Greatest Showman, and I made between the tears that were going on from watching that and just like the, we can talk about that at another time.
My face just
shut down. But the more important thing here is like how fucking good that sandwich was.
Oh my
so
God.
To be walking down the street and have like some sandwich like come onto me, I would just be like, okay, my place to yours.
Honestly,
like, what's
you wouldn't
happening?
Even need to see his face under it.
No,
you're
God,
like
stay in the costume.
Stay in the sandwich.
Okay.
Foot long, baby. All right, that's all right, what all
right. I everybody
$5 foot long.
Take
$5 foot long.
Yep. Yep. There it is. Listen to that voice. You can't hide it from us.
Take a deep breath, sandwich lovers of the world.
Okay,
sorry, getting off track.
So now we get to meet our next stereotype of the day.
Oh my God.
Mario.
Let's drink
we
to that.
Go.
Let's
drink to that.
Everybody drink
so,
to a stereotype.
I don't know if in our
cheers.
Technical troubles
cheers.
This survived or not, but here's something I learned. Anthony is going to be a recurring character, and we're about to meet him, and he's amazing. So.
He's fantastic.
I saw Mario Cantone in my first Broadway musical that I saw, The Assassins.
The Assassins, mm-hmm. yep.
Okay, so here we go.
So basically when Samantha was like, Charlotte, you can hire anyone. She's like, oh my God, okay, I'll do that.
So yeah, so basically Charlotte's like, I can't pick a dress. And Samantha's like, you can fucking hire someone to do that for you.
It has occurred to me both watching it before and watching it now, I must say that at no point her friends ask or want to or actually be involved in the dress picking in any way except for looking at magazines. Like she doesn't even invite them along, which is a little weird to me.
So Mario
she
Cantone,
goes straight to hiring someone.
If my favorite Stanford, I feel like is... A little bit closer to an accurate depiction of a gay character on a TV show, Anthony Mario Cantone is just like hyperbolic.
Yes.
But yet I like him more.
Oh, I love Stanford.
Well, here's the thing. I like Stanford, too. I like this guy, but I don't really know him. But the thing about playing a character like this...
I will say this is Mario Cantone. Like,
he's playing himself.
Yes, exactly. So, A, I get that feeling. B, sometimes, very occasionally, playing into a stereotype can be effective in the way that you're like, stereotypes are true for a reason. So, like, only because I'm like, he doesn't play this... Credit to him, partially, I think, because he's literally just being himself. Where you're like, whereas potentially watching someone else do this role, you'd be like, wow, this is an insufferable caricature of a gay man.
Right.
I feel like this is a version of men I know.
Right. Yes, absolutely. And, like, I know for me, like, if I were to be given this script, I would play it completely differently.
I'm sure
even
you
if
would.
I was playing it as myself. Right. You know. But I just love it. Hello.
Yeah. So they're at a bridal boutique and nothing is happening. They've been sitting there forever. No one's showing up. So Anthony stands up and he's like, hello.
Basically, he
and then they appear with dresses.
She hates it.
And then Charlotte's like, that one's a little too white. And the saleswoman's like, meh. And Anthony's like,
extra
stop.
That they got to play that sales girl is the worst.
Here's the thing. She does a good job though, because she is the worst.
She's the worst.
The worst.
Thank you, John Ralphio. Because she, that's the exact kind of woman, though, that you would come across in that setting and be like, wow, what just happened in that weird customer service?
I suppose. My two biggest takeaways from that, aside from being introduced to Anthony, was how terrible that extra was.
Yep.
And like, just like way over the top. And also the way Charlotte says, little girl. Like, she just rolls her R's.
That reminds me. Have you thought about what you want your wedding dress to look like since you were a little girl?
I know when I was a little girl.
Yes.
It was really important to me that my dress looked a very certain way.
Yes, tell me more.
Oh, my God. My sisters and I literally say that to each other all the time.
Because of this?
Because, no, I don't know how it started, but when people say their R's that way.
Wait, how many sisters do you have?
I have two.
Where are you?
I have an older brother.
Okay.
And then me, and then my two baby sisters.
Oh, wow.
So I had like the athlete older brother and then two princesses below me. So I was literally just like, look at me. I'm adorable. Like, I'm just a full wreck.
Incredible. A full wreck.
But.
Which is a sandwich you could get at Pawbelly's.
Oh my God.
Okay. What about you? Have you, cause I like know what I want my dress to look like.
I don't think I do. Here's the thing.
Vintage lace.
I do love lace and I do love vintage. We're getting into like deep anxieties about me as a human being now. Podcast just for everyone.
That was me last week. So.
So here's the thing about kind of my whole life.
Oh, well, we're going in.
I'm serious.
Yeah.
I know a lot more about what I don't like. And I have absolutely no idea about what I like.
Oh,
so I could tell you I won't wear a strapless wedding dress.
Good.
I think strapless never ever works.
No, I need a sweetheart.
You're gonna get you're guaranteed to get photographs where you look naked. It's just gonna happen.
I need a sweetheart.
But also,
for my
like,
boobies.
No matter what you do, the whole night you're pulling it up. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. And the whole night you have those weird little like skin bags at your armpits, where it's like you could be the tiniest person in the world and it would look weird.
I was gonna ask.
It doesn't look good.
Skin bags, my new favorite nickname.
Hey, skin bags.
What's up, skin bags?
Hey.
Because, like, I feel like my skin bags come from just, like, my boobs.
There we are.
My boobs, like, secreting out of any dress.
See, mine aren't that, and I get them, too.
All right. That makes me feel great.
It should. You should, because it's just a thing that happens to your body when you wear a strapless thing, I think.
Cool.
In terms of my general life, it's really hard because I have no idea what I'm driven by, like, I'm interested in, care about. But I don't like.
I don't agree with that. I think you know what you like.
But I think I know way more the like six things I don't like. And then there's a whole world out there of things I like that I like have no way to narrow down.
Sure.
And I feel that way about wedding dresses. Huh. Where I'm like, I don't want a ball gown. I don't want a Cinderella dress. No. I want
vintage lace.
I like lace. That's all I know.
I think it would look amazing on you. So what we need to do.
She's so excited to get married.
You guys, we should go to like a bridal shop and you should try on some dresses.
Great idea. You want to come with us?
That's like, yes. Let's. Anyway. So now Samantha is having the most amazing interview ever. P.S.
Okay.
Please pronounce this doctor's last name. If anyone
Where does it come in?
It's on her name tag.
Wait.
I'm ready.
Isn't this woman on Law & Order?
Oh, I don't know. I don't watch it.
I don't think so. I think she looks
What
like
is her
Heather.
Name? Say
wait,
that name.
Hang on. Wait. Say play it. It again so I can see it.
It's right there.
I know, but it's cover Quagan. It's Quagan.
Quagan? Quigon?
Quagan.
Quagan.
Like Quobigon?
Like
I'm sorry. Please talk about. So Samantha's feeling
she's
very
not. She
nervous.
Looks like the short-haired lawyer.
No, she looks like the chief. I'm just you guys talk about this scene.
Okay.
So what's happening is Samantha's admitting to being a bottom.
Yeah, basically, exactly. Well, the woman who, by that I mean the doctor, is doing a wonderful job of being like, do you have sex?
Just
do
clinical.
Do you have oral sex? Do mm-hmm. you swallow? Do you, all these things. And Samantha's like, to her credit, being pretty honest.
Absolutely.
But she's clearly like
no,
out
no,
of her mind,
no.
nervous.
She has been on 4 episodes of Law and Order Special Victims
oh,
Unit.
Oh,
so
she's
I
a special.
Definitely have seen her on
okay,
that.
Okay, well done, well
she's
done.
She's on an episode
Forgive
of Broad
me.
City. She's on... Oh, she's Claudette. This is Claudette from Orange is the New Black.
Oh, okay, that's why I recognize her.
That's
but
why
I couldn't think. I didn't think it was SVU, but it probably is also that.
You're
well
welcome.
Done.
Oh my God, she's totally Claudette. She's jail
watch,
cell roommate.
I was going to say, I didn't watch the last season of that oh, at all.
But here she's Dr.
And
Quigani.
She's like young. Yeah.
Quagan.
So basically,
Dr. Quagan.
She's like, oh.
Wait,
so
more
Samantha,
sloppy kissing.
Samantha, yeah.
Sorry.
Bad. Even that.
Yeah, no, we're going to get to that. Let's finish up with Samantha.
So Samantha's like.
They're like, how many sexual partners have you
yeah,
had?
Yeah, all of that. And you know what? Like, I guess the subtle genius of this show is that we just have a random plot point about a woman who's afraid to confront this thing, going and getting it done and being
well,
really scared of it.
I feel like the running theme with Samantha is that she is unabashedly herself and she'll, until she is confronted with it.
Yeah.
She's, like, so comfortable right. being the woman who has had a million sexual partners until someone in a doctor setting is like, how many sexual partners have
right.
you had? And she's like, you see her and
Kim and can, you can also see, like, arching her freaking out about like what if yeah. I have AIDS, what if I have AIDS, what if I have AIDS, what if I have AIDS, because when she has the conversation with the girls originally, she's like, I have never been tested, like maybe I've had it all this time and I've infected everyone I've ever known.
Well, let me tell you, like, I remember the first time I went and got my blood work done.
Ugh, must have been terrifying.
It's horrifying.
Just the possibility that anything
I mean, when it really comes down to it, you don't know for certainty, like you don't know who's lied to you, you don't know anything, and you try and be as safe as you can, but I that feeling, oh my God, it's the scariest yeah. thing ever. And I think for that reason, that's one of the reasons why I remembered this episode so well.
Uh-huh.
It's because I think I actually saw this episode before I had ever been tested, but had already become sexually active.
Wow. Sure. So it stuck with you.
Because I was very young at the
yeah.
time. So there's a lot of credit in what Samantha's storyline is.
And just them like putting this, because that I think this could very easily get lost in all of the one-off storylines
sure.
Samantha has.
Yeah.
Yes.
But in its casualness and in its smartness, it's actually pretty genius.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's handled fairly casually
yeah.
within the frame of the
yeah.
show, I think reinforces that.
Mm-hmm. All right. So.
Back to sloppy kissing.
So
but this time
like,
it's Aiden and Carrie.
Aiden is trying to kiss Carrie.
And she
just like,
won't even.
She won't kiss him back. And
she's
he's making
like,
this noise. And she tells him it's annoying. And this scene is just like the worst thing I've ever watched.
It's in, we went from like tight mouth mashing to just lips
open
rubbing.
Mouth
but
mashing.
No tongue.
No.
Just lips rubbing.
But worse because one person just has an open mouth and the other person is trying to kiss them.
It's nothing.
It's garbage.
And eyes open.
And she's like, oh, you're being so annoying, please. And then he like tries, and then she's like, I can't.
She's like,
it.
You're making this noise, and then he kisses her again. And he's like, look, Ma, no sound. And it's like the least sexy thing she's ever heard,
Woof.
Basically at that point.
He might as well meow at her.
Yeah,
am
which
I right,
he
guys?
Does.
What I love, like, how does he already have his underwear on and
yeah.
is already putting his pants
I think
on?
Like
his out
underwear
the door.
Was on when they were making out.
Well, then he's not doing it right.
So he like jumps out of bed, and he's like. You know,
you're
I
being cold,
yeah,
you're being distant,
stuff,
and so
whatever.
I'm out.
And then Carrie's like,
He's like, you make fun of me for making that sound. She's like, I love that sound. I'm like, bitch, you just told him it was annoying.
Yeah, you can't tell him
and
you
then
love
she
that
watches,
after literally
watches
four.
Him pee.
Yeah, very weird. After like literally, you've said 3 things since you told him you hated that noise. You can't tell him you
also,
loved
don't
it.
You think it's amazing that he pees without making sound?
Yes.
Oh
remarkable.
My God, was there no?
Is that a trick? That you know how to do.
I mean, you can aim for the side
right.
of the bowl. Like if I'm on the phone and I gotta pee,
yeah.
like you
okay.
just
but here's
aim
something
for the
I
side.
Learned about that. They probably can't hear you because I've asked people I'm close to and I'm like, I'm peeing, and they're like, we can't hear it. And I'm like, oh,
But right. your whole body's covering the bowl. Right. Whereas when you're standing, it has sure. sound to come out, you know?
Right.
Oh, well, what?
And I have what's known as a powerful stream.
Oh, do you? Wow, what? Power washer over here. Just fucking like hosing down buildings. Exposing brick that hasn't been exposed in 35 years.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to get some exposed brick right. in this apartment.
And okay. you're just going to drink a lot, and then you're just going to go to town.
Okay, so she's trying to get him to stay.
And then he's like, listen, I think I'm going to give you some space for a few days. And she's like, not the bad kind of space, right? And he like touches his forehead to her, and he's like, no. Which honestly, to Aiden's credit as a sort of like 60% fleshed out character, he recognizes something's going on. And rather than freak out, he's like, I think she maybe needs some space. And he leaves. And he doesn't do it in a fuck you, I'm worried you're cheating on me way. He does it in a like, I think you really genuinely need some space and I should remove myself because you won't remove me.
And as someone who greatly values their non-productive alone time.
Yes. Oh my God, yes.
Like, that is something that I would look for in a person and think is so sexy. And there's an episode, I don't know if you've gotten there yet, where she's like, I need to go back here. Because I've never lived with anyone before, and I just need a few minutes of alone time. So that's later.
Okay.
That's later. Oh, shit.
But a similar concept.
I don't mean to give away spoilers.
No, it's okay. It's okay. You're not.
No, isn't that when she keeps her apartment? And then she keeps going back to her apartment?
No. This is like a... There's an episode where some stuff's going on, and she says to the person that she's dating at the time that, I've never lived with anyone before, so I need to go in here and be alone. Mm. And the second she has permission to be alone, she misses her partner and like wants to come back to them.
Right.
And I'm like, oh my God, just about that, yeah. that I love.
Well, I just read... This is like only a little bit related, sort of, but I just read a really interesting article about like the power of being alone, especially as a woman, and the power of living alone, where we have this concept of like a bachelor pad mm-hmm. that doesn't really exist on the female side.
Interesting.
And she opens this essay talking about how like when she was 13 and her parents would leave her alone for the first time, this like exhilaration that would come when the door would shut. And she was like, I never did bad things. Like at most I watched a movie on the couch and fell asleep, but something about being like alone with your autonomy and granted at 13 when you've never had that before, there's something really giddy about that. But it's like, I feel that super viscerally where I'm like, you know, there's like girls' nights out and boys' nights out and whatever. And there's bachelor pads and but it's something that the women on this show struggle with a lot, is this like at a certain point it is no longer okay or fashionable or making a statement to be a single woman. Hmm. But there's a lot of like power and ownership that comes with that, because I'm the same. I'm like fiercely protective of my alone time.
Me too.
But also like if I was alone and you were like, would you like your boyfriend here? I would be like, yep. I want him right here now. Granted, we're in a long distance relationship, which is like a little different.
Yeah.
But it you're right. There's like something about granting freedom or taking freedom, or just it's like the perception of freedom where you don't have to be alone, but just knowing that exists makes a big difference.
The accessibility of alone time.
Yeah.
Is so sexy.
And I think that's actually also.
I mean, it just really is.
And I think that's also something that was that became really difficult about Miranda and Steve's relationship, because after he moves in, she loses all illusion of that. Like there's no, not only is he a child living in her space, but she has no alone time anymore.
Well, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Also, this scarf she's wearing, it's like red cheetah print, and it's wild.
So now Miranda is like confronting with the sandwich, who continues to just be like,
this is so funny. I'm both like very topical.
Eat me. Right. So Samantha storms into the Blimpy, like sponsored by Blimpy.
I don't even know if we explained the first, did we? Basically, there's like a guy in a Subway sandwich outfit. It's not an actual Subway, but
it's
like
it's Blimpy's.
A Blimpy's outfit. And his whole thing on the street is, eat me, eat me.
And he's like, she storms into the thing to talk to the manager, and she's like, your sandwich is harassing me. And he keeps saying, eat me.
And he's like, that's what he's supposed to say.
He's a sandwich. And
she's like, no,
he's
fucking no.
Saying
it's
it in a
harassing.
Gross way.
And I'm
way.
Like, all right, this is very topical, very relevant, whatever. But
honestly, like more so than just a regular, like I'm being harassed story, is because it's about the nuance and it's about the, like, they hit some.
Okay. And so then he's like, is a sandwich. And then this fucking Miranda goes out and he smiles at her, and she can see
big lips and pretty teeth.
And she all of a sudden,
through the mesh.
The next scene is her calling Carrie, being like, I want to fuck the sandwich.
I'm obsessed with the sandwich.
If that isn't the most fucking me thing I've ever seen in my entire life, I'm like, oh my God, he smiled at me and now we're getting married next week.
I mean, how much do we all love just big lips and pretty teeth? I mean, like, come on, girl. Now.
Here's what I thought when that moment happened, when that line happened. I was like, yes, I feel that too. But what I love about this show a little bit in a crazy way is that Miranda is feeling that.
Yeah.
Because it's like our most rational, cool-headed whatever is like, dude, there's a sandwich on the street and I can't see his face and I inexplicably must fuck him.
I'm so telling
that's
you.
That's amazing. So now we have this fantasies. Beautiful scene between Miranda and we have this beautiful scene between Miranda and Carrie where they talk about this having sex with a sandwich. There's a lot of hoagie jokes.
Yeah, and this is one of those moments where I'm like, wait, who is Carrie's best friend? Is it Samantha or no, is it Miranda?
It's Miranda.
But they like to play it like it's Samantha sometimes.
I don't think so. I think it's very intently Miranda, and she goes to Samantha because, you know, if we're going to go in the timeline of this relationship like it is, like through the Carrie diary.
Oh, my God. Never
you know,
saw it.
Like, then she's known Samantha since she was in high school.
Uh-huh.
So I think Samantha is her oldest friend.
Yeah.
And Miranda is her closest friend. And I think that there is a differentiation between the two. Because even beginning from season one, when she like actually has an issue and is like having an emotional moment or a breakdown or like any like sense of carry. And it's getting better as we're getting into it, obviously. But you know, in those first two seasons, she's like a pretty shallow, horrific character.
Yes.
But when she was showing those like moments of humanity, she would always go to Miranda.
Right.
And we didn't even have like a one-on-one moment with Samantha until like much later, and even Charlotte. I think we had one-on-one moments with Charlotte.
Oh my God, can we believe like how different Charlotte is now from where she started, from like museum curator?
But
like,
she still is a museum. She still is that, and that's like a cool job to have.
Absolutely, but yet they don't infuse any of that into her character. Like you never hear her talking about art. You don't hear her artistic point of view, or
it's very strange.
It's very strange the way that they decided to just make her the one note that she is, that you hate so much.
I think I hate it because it is just so vehemently different than how I live my life and how we live our lives and how, like, it just, like, it feels so anachronistic to how a woman behaves now. And that's not to be, like, I do believe that there are women out there who, like, it's just like unfathomable to me to be 25 years old and married.
Uh-huh.
And she's, how old do you think Charlotte is? 28?
Yeah. I mean, she's definitely supposed to be the youngest out of all of them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I have a friend in my life just literally is that person. Like I watched her like make her marriage happen, like make it happen and know the ring she wanted and the dress she wanted and just be very, I mean, she's a little bit different. She wasn't WASPy. She was very Southern, but like it was still.
But it's like a similar, it's like there are those, like there's a Jewish version of Charlotte and there's a Southern version of Charlotte and there's a WASPy version of Charlotte. Like those exist.
They're real women. I have to love them because it's real. And I think that Kristen Davis plays it so believably.
Yeah.
And even though she's over the top and she's the most cartoony out of all of them. Like,
I don't
even
think
like,
she's the most cartoony. I think Samantha is super cartoony.
She is. But like, I just always think of the movie when she Poughkeepsies her pants. It's just like the most cartoony moment ever. Okay.
So now Samantha is in the hospital room. And this is what you wanted to talk about, Thomas.
Yes. Having this like crazy zoom in.
So she's waiting. And so basically what we didn't talk about earlier was that Miranda was talking about her experience getting her HIV test. And how the doctor was like made this very specific gesture with her hands.
Yeah.
And then the woman comes out and took them into a specific room.
Right.
And then Samantha is having that. So the woman comes out there. Does the gesture. And then she faints because she thinks she's about to get taken into the room.
The woman's like, come step in here with me. And yes. She passes out.
So she passes out and then cut to Carrie doing a voiceover. And the quote that she uses to describe Samantha is she says, no, she was perfectly healthy. And that is not a quote that we would see today.
Yes.
Because somebody can be HIV positive and still be perfectly healthy.
Right. So oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
That still shows that even though they were trying to be progressive and make it normal to talk about these sorts of things, there was still a stigma around having it, made you diseased or made you unhealthy.
Unclean, unhealthy, something.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's amazing.
But, I mean, we're in a place now, we know, with medicine and with lifestyle, like, you can live your perfectly normal life. It really stuck out to me. And I watched this episode with Danny last night as well, and he pointed that out. He was like, that's, I don't like that. And I was like, no, I agree. And I wasn't sure if I was going to say anything about it, but I just want to say that that's not something that you should say. And mm-hmm. if somebody has HIV, there is no reason that they cannot be considered a healthy
Absolutely.
Person.
Totally.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of people who are carriers who are HIV positive don't necessarily exhibit symptoms for a long time or pass it on or
literally. No, that's right. Not saying that you shouldn't go and practice safe sex. You
right.
always
of
should.
Course, yeah. Always, always.
But you should be able to do so comfortably. And like, even when you express to your partner that that's what's going on, everyone should be fine with it and everything should be okay.
Right. And beyond sexually, like, your whole life shouldn't be derailed by no. a diagnosis of this kind. It's, of course, significant as anything you carry.
Absolutely.
Is,
it's not to belittle it or say that it's nothing.
But it's really, yeah, you know, you're totally right. And it's important to say. And it's also, it's just testament to the fact that, like, yeah, 2 decades, of course, that's a long time for culture to shift.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And thank goodness it has. But also, like, to just think about all of the things that we're afflicted with in this moment, this age, that might in 20 years look very different.
Yeah.
And, like, for them to have addressed it as admirable, but it's really interesting in retrospect to see how things have even progressed since.
Absolutely.
All yeah. of that. Yeah.
All right.
Carrie is back at 56 and 8th, and she calls it 56 and safe.
Oh, my gosh. Ridiculous.
And then she's in this, like, hotel lobby, mm-hmm. and this older man is like, how much? I've seen you here before for sex. How much?
And so she's like, oh my God, I'm a hooker. This Japanese businessman thinks I'm a hooker.
Thinks I'm a hooker.
Out. So I'm
going to
walk past this Pepsi vending machine. Yep. I'm going to light my cigarette.
So specific, all of it.
Yep.
And she walks out on the street and Charlotte.
Ah, Charlotte.
Carrie. And there is Big. He walks out of the front of the hotel. And here's the thing. If it had been a random acquaintance, uh-huh. if it had been anything, you might have been able to play it off.
Right.
But Carrie obviously cannot.
Like, I met my agent at a hotel lobby once just for, like, drinks and, right. like, a conversation. Like, that's a very normal thing. But the fact that it's fucking Big.
And it's
she
Charlotte.
Gets it.
And
she
they
clocks
come
it immediately.
Separately. I mean, Charlotte just, like, knows. She's in this very cute, also little, like, floral dress
that
I love
but
a lot.
I feel like this interaction makes Charlotte a bad friend. I'm like, why would Charlotte run away?
I think if I'd been confronted by this by surprise, and it's not just that Carrie's hooking up with someone who Charlotte's like, I don't know if I approve. Mm-hmm. Like, to Charlotte, okay, so then, okay, so... So Carrie goes over to see Charlotte and help her pack.
This is Charlotte's moment.
This is what you and I were talking about earlier.
Let's talk about it.
So Carrie goes over to help her pack. And Charlotte's so cute. She's in, like, a plain white tee. She's literally just like, hey there, Delilah-ing all over the place. But she's like, here's the thing. And she also has this voice on in this conversation that I've never heard Charlotte use before.
I just love the, you're the other woman. No, I'm not. I mean, yes, I am. She recognizes
that.
She's like,
that. Yes, I am. Like, right. I know that I'm the other woman logistically because, like, he's married, but, like, I'm the one he wants.
I think to, ugh, yeah, and especially gross. Because she was there before and everything. Like, I think that's part of the justification Carrie's done to herself up until this point.
Because her other friends have allowed her to do so.
Yeah. Right.
She's talked to them selectively in the way that she's like,
and
but
I just,
me?
Hello. And then the fact that Charlotte's like, I'm about to be married. Like, what would you do?
She's like,
if another woman did this to me and Trey.
And she's like, I'd kill her.
Exactly.
And she's also like, you don't know anything about Natasha. Like,
other than she wears white all the time.
She's like, you've decided she's this person.
Yes.
And you don't really know
the
except
idiot
what,
wife.
Right.
That's what she calls her.
Except what Big has told you or shared with you. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit of a wake up call for Carrie. I mean, granted, of course, because
she's
of what
like,
comes
you're
next.
You're my maid of honor.
That's the one part of it that I don't
that's
like.
That's a little silly. Well, because here's the thing. Like, big picture, Charlotte has some ideas that make sense and that I agree with. And then when she gets really specific with them and she's like, I feel bad about this because, like, you're betraying this idea of romance.
Uh-huh.
You're kind of like, okay, Charlotte.
Shut up. But your points leading up till then were so strong.
She's so, like, quiet and fierce and, like, Carrie, this is wrong. You know it's wrong. If someone did this to me, you would literally kill them.
That's why Charlotte is here, because she provides that perspective,
and
that point of view.
It's different and it's valuable. And yeah. You know what? It also, I think, like, when you have someone in your life who, like, maybe you don't agree with 100% or you're, like, is a challenging viewpoint, but who's someone you love and is, like, a good friend of yours, I mean, of course it makes you, like, well-rounded and thoughtful, but also, like, it just forces you to sometimes look at things a little differently. And, like, that's why Carrie doesn't talk to Miranda. That's why Carrie doesn't talk to Charlotte until now.
Yeah.
Because she knows they will force her to look at these things really head on.
Yeah.
And she doesn't want to do that yet.
Yeah. So they have this tough conversation, and then
she also, in this conversation, just really fast, when she's talking to Carrie about being her maid of honor, she calls her maid of, or Carrie calls herself the maid of dishonor. And I just had to say
such a good wordplay.
Yeah, right there.
So then Miranda confronts her, the sandwich, and is like, let me see your face. And it's like, this, like, what? Like, he looks like he's like, what, 18?
And he's like, 19. Not cute. He looks like Joe Jonas gone bad.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Who, like, I would have done anything for.
Oh my God. So now Samantha's having sex.
That's on the sex swing.
And that's the end of Miranda's
plot. Okay. But, like,
her body.
It's her whole body out. They are naked in the sex swing, and we are watching it.
Charles' body is the body that I wish I had.
Either he has the biggest dick in the world, or, like, they
She's
did
like
really bad
and
simulation.
Inches from it, yeah.
Because
you're like, penetration's
so
not happening in this
away.
Sex swing.
No.
But it does fall from the ceiling, which is very funny.
It falls from the ceiling. That's the end of Samantha.
That's it.
And so now
for the whole episode. Really fast, let me just say, not a sex swing, but we used to have one of those sitting hammocks. Screwed into our front deck. A friend of mine and I in kindergarten, she came over. It was like this whole thing. And
you guys were having crazy sex.
We were having crazy sex as five-year-olds on the sex swing. Anyway, I was spinning her around and around and around. So we just fucking unscrewed the thing.
Oh my God,
and she
hilarious.
Fell so hard. Another friend of mine fell through our treehouse. Like, we had a lot of mishaps.
One time, I hit my best friend. We were at a beach party, and I was skipping rocks, and I hit my best friend in the side of the head with a rock. So
here's
Big,
the rest of this episode.
So Big and Carrie.
Big is like, meh, 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 meh.
They're in his apartment.
Yeah, they're in the lowest of lows. Yeah. They've now decided
to the
hotels are gross because they get caught. So what's not gross, naturally, is let's have an affair in the bed that you share with your wife.
And so they do.
They do.
And
he is gross.
He's like, take
fuck.
A shower. Do what you need. Natasha's in the Hamptons.
Hang on. But first, they have this whole conversation back and forth. Big is like, fine. I'm going to call Natasha and break up with her right now.
And he goes, are you going to be there for me when I do it? And I wrote, Bridget's going
to
hate
this. I did. I said, you're going to ask Carrie to be there for you?
I knew it. I was like, I saw him and I was like, fucking fuck.
So they have this whole back and forth where he's like, I'm going to call her right now. And she's like, you can't call your wife at the beach in the Hamptons and break up with her over the phone, which fair. Sorry, if you're going to have an affair, trash your marriage, all these things, like, at least you can do is have the decency to not call her over the phone.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it's not like they've made Natasha like a
villain.
No.
No, but it's also not like they've made her a super sympathetic character.
No.
No.
So I am definitely like, poor Natasha.
Well, and then, okay, so when I first, literally the second I started playing this episode, when I knew this was when we were going to talk about, literally the first quote I heard in my head was, I see you, Carrie. Like, I knew it was coming, and
yes.
I was waiting for that moment.
Yes, me too. Yes. When I think of this episode, that is what I think of as well. So basically, Big leaves to go back to work, and Carrie's like in her bra eating leftover Chinese food, which is
rude.
Just like,
probably
fucking,
Natasha's.
I was like, fucking get out of the fucking apartment, Carrie.
Also,
like, you already feel shitty enough that you're in the apartment.
Just to say, like, if this was me in this circumstance and he left, even if she was fucking in I don't know, like, Europe,
yeah,
I would leave.
You were
gonna
say,
oh my God,
Ireland.
Get out.
I would not. No, I was gonna say like Africa or something, but just like anywhere, like, even if the girlfriend was anywhere, I would not spend time
okay.
there. I would not
so,
integrate myself.
So she's eating the Chinese food, the door unlocks, you hear it, it's Natasha, she's calling, and so Carrie tries to leave out the servant's exit, I guess.
Sort of, like,
and then
staircase.
Natasha goes, I see you, Carrie, I knew you were having an affair, but in my own, and so she starts chasing Carrie.
Well, there's this whole moment where Carrie hears her come in, sees her around the corner, and
yep.
then tries to grab her shirt and stuff, which, why it's in the kitchen doesn't make any sense, but she tries
Lucky
to grab
her
stuff and sneak out, and as she does it, she knocks knocks one of the bar chairs, and she's like, fuck, fuck, fuck. So she just sprints out. And then
she tries to open the door, but the door is locked, and so is Natasha sees her.
Right.
So, so Natasha is chasing her down the stairs.
Carrie's like, just running out. And she's like, I see you. Ugh. I know who you are. I know what's happening. I've suspected this.
Yeah, and then Natasha falls.
And fucking spits blood.
Smashes her
face. And Carrie's like,
it's a true blood mouth.
She was just like, hey, I thought I was going to be the one that got hurt. And yet Natasha's the one, like, bleeding, like, crying.
And not only bleeding, but of course it's a metaphor for the fact that there's a real person involved. And she has been in her space, and suddenly she's back and she's real. And not only is she real, but she's, like, busted her face open. And
also, just, like, side note, like, falling down the stairs like that is my literal nightmare. Oh, like, that's how I think I'm going to die.
And this is, like, the tragic truth of it all, is Carrie was going to continue with this, like, horrible behavior until it actually came and punched her in the face.
And then it punched Natasha in the face.
Literally.
Exactly. So very Carrie, good. And not only that, but Carrie's in, she hasn't even had time to get dressed. So she's in a skirt, a bra, and her jean jacket.
But then she takes Natasha to the hospital.
They have the least glamorous or coordinated cab entrance I've ever seen. She like tries to get her into a cab and then knocks on the window and then gets in the front seat. Well, it's ridiculous.
Because Natasha locks the door.
Yeah. If I were Natasha, I'd be like, get the fuck away from me.
I wouldn't want Carrie to come with me at that point. And once I'm in a cab, I'm like, okay.
And so then we see Carrie waiting in the hospital, and Big comes and is like, is she okay? And
Carrie's like, she has
She gives the quick wrap up, everything from the doctor, Dr. Quigan, probably.
She's scared and she's swollen and her parents are coming and I have to leave. And Carrie's like, we are over. We are so over. There isn't even a word.
No, yeah. we need a new word to describe how over we are.
Big like tries. He's like, what do you mean? And she like looks at him and she's kind of like, what are we going to say? And she's standing on the fucking spot where the door keeps opening.
Right. Opening and closing.
In a full bevel, by the way. Like that is just
turned. 100% around.
It
on
could
her
not
body.
Be a more gorgeous stance. She is like modeling that denim jacket for life.
And he's like, thank you for being here. And she just looks gorgeous but sad.
Also keep in mind that her hair is tucked into her jacket. It stays tucked into her jacket until she gets back to her apartment. Like, she does not.
Right. But so we have this like.
But that's right. She's not focusing on anything except the immediate thing in front of her.
Presumably, this is like officially the end of their affair. She goes back to Aiden, who is like.
So here's my thing. I'm like, there's no way that this whole plot point takes two episodes. So I imagine what has to happen from here is that he and Natasha either have some kind of reckoning or they actually break up. And then this continues. It has to. I don't think this is over. Brooke just rubbed my thigh encouragingly. So here we are.
Time will tell.
But I just feel like this is too big to be a two-episode arc. You know what I mean?
Carrie, like, very blatantly lies to Aiden. Is like, I have to wash my face. And then she...
So she goes home and Aiden's there. Because remember, he's been giving her space. And he's like, hey. And it's like a little uncomfortable. Also, having to wash your face first thing when you walk in freaks me out a little bit.
I was like, just say hands. Hands is a way more viable option.
Just say you gotta go take a piss. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I have to pee. As opposed to like, let me wash the man I've been kissing off my face.
Legit. And she closes
executive producer
the door,
Darren Star.
And then that's it.
And that's it. But there's a lot in this episode.
It is. Yeah. All right. So now questions from Brooke's brother.
Our favorite new segment.
No. Well, here's the question from my brother. What's your favorite place to get hummus
in the city? That's all he wants to know.
Koshkaval Garden.
Koshkaval Garden is great.
Okay. There you go. Alex Weissman, we have your answer.
Koshkaval Garden. Okay. So here are our questions for you. Who do you resonate with in this episode?
Ooh. Charlotte.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, Charlotte fucking lands it this episode. Even to the point of being so self-involved that she's talking about her own project while other people have stuff going on. I've totally been that girl. When it's something as big as, you know, like getting married.
They're talking about like HIV and AIDS and she's like, okay, but my dress?
Hello, me.
Like, I mean, it's not one of my like proudest moments, but I've definitely been that girl.
Uh-huh.
And then also being the reality check for your friend who's allowing themselves to do a bunch of bad things.
Yes, absolutely.
I am constantly that person for my closest friends.
Do you think... We literally met tonight, so forgive me for projecting. Do you think that's because you're someone who's been in a, it seems, stable, lovely relationship for basically a decade? And because you maybe don't know a lot of people in that situation.
I'm a creature of habit mm-hmm. in the fact that I've had the same people in my life mm. for literally like 2 decades.
That's crazy.
My very best friend.
Since you were 10, literally.
I mean, like legit.
That's crazy.
Oh, yes. My very, very best friend. We still have a very similar relationship. Like I come to her with a lot of stuff, but she always comes to me for advice too. Like it's like a symbiotic relationship. Mm. Yeah, that's how I'm always the problem solver mm. with my mm-hmm. friends. Not so much in my marriage, but in my friends, I'm definitely the problem solver.
Uh-huh. Interesting. The way we function in different relationships for different people is really fulfilling mm-hmm. in like different ways. And it sounds like you fulfill for a lot of people this like advice, lovely relationship. But then you just said that's not who you are in your marriage.
No, absolutely not. I'm an absolute wreck of a husband. And so like,
I don't believe that either.
Lucky. But I do believe that you feel really differently about that than you do about like your friendships where you play a different role.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's probably something that I needed. You know right. what I mean? I needed somebody to do that for me because I do it for everybody else.
Exactly that, too. It's like nice to not be the person who's always on top of it. Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hey, I'll give it to you, baby.
There it is. This was a weird one for me.
It's tough because if you say Carrie, you're a horrible person.
Well, and I have to say, honestly, for me, like this isn't a big one for Carrie. And usually I feel very Miranda, but like this isn't really a Miranda episode for me.
Or that's Samantha.
That's so funny
or
because Samantha. Let me be honest.
Yeah. You feel the Miranda? So like, that's so funny.
I'll explain it in a moment, yeah. But you finish.
I'm going to say pretty full out that I loved this episode, but didn't feel personally related to any of
Great.
Them.
Great. So I felt Miranda-y because I have encountered or not encountered someone and then be like, I'm going to fuck them. And this is why I'm like, oh, sure. I don't understand. Like, I just feel really connected to them.
Not
and,
a
like,
sandwich, maybe.
But I was just like, wow, this like weird infatuation with like this being you've never.
Oh, really I know what's happening.
I was like, oh, yeah, I get that.
A little bit me too.
Yeah. You know what I did have? I was like, I had a moment watching this episode where I was like, I wish people spoke on the phone more.
Oh, totally.
Like, I think about like, this as like a personal failing,
Carrie
which isn't really
Miranda
fair.
The scene where they're like yes. talking. And like, given my best friend lives in LA, so we talk on the phone lot, like
yeah.
often.
Yeah.
But I just like wish that you and I, even Bridget, talked on the phone more. Like, I feel
we
like
we could do that.
We should do that. All right.
The only person I talk to on the phone with is my mother. And we talk on the phone for like 20 minutes at a time, like yeah. every couple of days.
Yeah,
and
for sure. Yeah. That makes sense.
But I'm like, but I feel that so hard where I'm like, I'd rather text you a million times over than call you. Like, I will literally never.
I just don't want to talk to you unless I see you.
Also, that's fair.
You're texting it's very so much. So
all right. Okay.
You're great with us, so yeah, kudos.
See, if you're in my face, then I'll fucking talk to it.
Ploppability.
Actually, this is an interesting one because I don't think this episode. So you've listened a bunch.
Uh-huh.
Ploppability is the like, if you plopped it in 2017, would it work?
Right.
And I actually think for the first time in a while, most facets of this wouldn't work.
Correct.
Uh-huh.
I think. Not unfortunately, but I think a large part of that is to do with the fact that Samantha's feels particularly outdated.
Yes.
Because, like, it's not irrelevant and it's not a bad episode. It's just something that, like, would not, I don't think, specifically come into any of our lives. And then, you know, Carrie's Carrie, Miranda's Miranda. And for us, I don't know, maybe you know more people who are like really genuinely getting married, because the people who I know are getting married are like weird at home friends who like, of course, we're always going to get married at 24 years old. But I don't know. The whole Charlotte thing feels a little foreign.
Yeah.
The Samantha thing feels very foreign. Miranda is like Miranda
yeah, I've
ploppable,
never even
I guess.
Come
and you know,
to a sex swing.
Carrie's could be absolutely ploppable. But on a whole, I don't think the whole episode is.
Yeah, no. I mean, it definitely feels like looking into the past when I watch this mm-hmm. episode. Specifically, obviously, for Samantha.
Right.
But even also the whole Carrie and Big affair. Do people still meet in hotels? Like, is
yeah,
that a
I'm
thing?
Like, is that just like, I'm naive and I don't know that people like do this? Because I'm sure
but
they do.
If
in
you,
the city you live
if,
in,
if
like,
I
still
were,
buy it.
Like, I guess like the, because they both are in other relationships that have keys to the apartment they're living in. Like, the only option, I guess, is a hotel.
Right.
I don't
if know. You're cheating with someone who doesn't have a sicko, I guess you... That becomes a lot easier, maybe.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Maybe that just depends.
All right.
Should we call it? I think that's it. Yeah, I think we've had it. Thomas.
Yes.
Do you have a Delta up and Delta down for the week?
Oh, perfect.
So, for your past week, has something changed for the better or changed for the worse? Like, we'll go first and then that will make you clear. Bridget,
thank you.
Delta up, Delta down?
A Delta up I had for this week is that yesterday I successfully went to the gym on my lunch break for the first time because there's one by my work and I've been paying for this fucking Blink thing where you can go to any of them. And I am so terrible at going home and motivating myself to leave again, especially in the winter, that I was beyond out of my mind thrilled. And here's the thing. It's not a lot of time, but... It breaks up my day. I'm happier in the second half of the day. And then I don't have to think about it when I go home. And so I was delighted to discover that once I actually put my mind to it and did it, this is something I can do.
Yeah.
Really happy about that. My Delta down for the week is, I don't know. It's just fucking January, man. I know it'll go at some point, but I just drown in January. It doesn't matter what it is. I'm yes, work is hard. Yes, all these things. But I'm just something about fucking January.
Okay.
Man.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure. But I will say that I had a different Delta up that I can't think of anymore. But my Delta up is that the sun now sets at 5:30.
It does make a big difference.
And so
just have a little bit of time.
It's slowly going
up. Just a little.
Up.
I'll just take
so
a
that's
little.
I looked outside today and I was okay. It's only up from here.
When it's
there's light, literally light at the end of the tunnel.
When it's light out when I leave work, I will be a different human being.
Yeah.
And
then my Delta down is that I'm tired. I'm just very tired.
You're working a lot, baby.
I'm just tired.
I'm just going to keep it very real.
Do it.
Yeah.
I mean, I have been so looking forward to doing this ever since Brooke and I talked about it a couple of weeks ago. So I have to say that my Delta up is totally getting to be on this podcast.
Yes. We're so happy.
Oh my God. It was so.
Brooke has literally been he's the best. I can't wait. He's the best. I can't wait. He's the best. I can't wait. So
I hope I delivered.
You did.
And there are at least four episodes that I know are coming in the future.
If we're ever hungry for a guest,
we'll have you back.
Well,
I mean, I'm not even going to wait. I'm going to be good. Hey, you guys are
yes,
in season
please
four,
do.
Episode
please do. I'm not kidding.
Right
no,
now.
Please.
If you have ones you love, tell us and we will have you back.
Season
no
four
question.
Is the, I think is when we're going to start having repeat.
People back. Yeah, exactly.
We'll see. No. So, and my Delta down is that it's over.
This makes me so happy.
You
drank, I just want everyone to know, multiple beers out of the biggest mason jar I've ever seen tonight, which was both
glorious.
Impressive and inspiring.
Out of a straw, no
out
less.
Of a straw, because we require straw drinking on this podcast.
Yes. Thomas, one
yes.
more question.
Please.
If you would like. How may we find you on social media?
Oh, outstanding. Well, if you wanted to follow me on the Instagram,
mm-hmm. you do, let me tell you.
I do Instagram. It's very conservative.
And you do want to follow him.
I wear a lot of clothes on it. It's at TG Bevan, which is my maiden name.
Beautiful.
I feel like I shouldn't tell people that I'm married. It might make them not want to follow me.
They
Sorry
should.
About that.
Follow him and lust after what you can have is what I say.
Yeah, at TGBEVAN. I don't tweet terribly often.
Fair
Typically,
enough.
If I do, it's because I'm entering a contest uh-huh. or because I'm trying to get an upgrade on
Absolutely,
an airline.
Yes.
But if you want to take a meander at the things that I mindlessly put out in the world, it's at Thomas is Twitten.
Oh, I love that. There
no
it
G.
Is.
Thomas is Twitten.
Amazing.
Yeah. That's
Social
me.
Media, man.
You can find me 100% of the time on Twitter at Mrs. Burt Macklin. And you can find me on Instagram at BridgetM37. Brookethy.
Hello. There's no place like Twitter.
That's right.
You can find me there at Brooke_Wiseman. And you can find me on Instagram making stories for the gods.
That's
yeah,
right.
Fanny.
At Brooke Wiseman, no underscore.
Just
and
so you know, she dabbed. I just want you all to know.
I dabbed, but if you put an underscore, Bridget.
I am going to find you. I'm going to sit you down for a pretty intense talk. We're going to get through it. You're going to feel like everything's resolved. And then I'm going to have to take you out back and shoot you anyway.
I love this bit. And collectively,
we are at Splat Podcast
on Twitter and Instagram. We are and Gmail. And we are at Splat the Podcast on Facebook. Please rate, review, subscribe on
iTunes.
Please
do. Someone found us the other day and was like very impressed by our rates. So yes, that's all we need. They please did. Impress them further because we may want to sleep with them. Who knows? Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.